On the feature, a closer look at Life Tour, which starts in the Maritimes this week.
We are in a position where we have nothing to give up. We absolutely have nothing. So anything, any law that would regulate abortion that would save some preborn lives is a step in the right direction. It's all take from our side and all give from the other side, if you will, if you want to view it in those terms. We're excited about the fact that we're going to be reaching thousands and thousands of people through this tour, and hopefully not only convincing those pro-lifers who are holding out for a perfect law, but also motivating the many millions of Canadians who are in the mushy middle. We hope to be giving them things that they can do about it.
And in the news, the controversy over the new sex ed curriculum in the Ontario public school system just won't go away, while the fight against Bill 10 in Alberta is also continuing. And we've got an update on doctors' conscience rights in Ontario.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
We're now into the last week of September. In most of the country, school has been back in for almost a month. In Ontario, that means Premier Kathleen Wynne's controversial new approach to sex education has taken hold. But the opposition to that curriculum continues, unabated. The ARPA chapter in Niagara continues to promote public awareness about it.
We started off with presentations that went out to local churches, and then we've put up some billboards, 5 in Niagara area and 3 more in Oxford, courtesy of Oxford ARPA chapter.
Chris Hessels is helping to organize the campaign, which points people to a website called ourkidsourschools.ca. Hessel says it's all about broadening the base of support in the fight against the curriculum.
Just create relationships that wouldn't normally come together because we're standing on common ground. Also, we would hope that this will be remembered in 4 years.
Creating relationships that wouldn't normally come together and standing on common ground. That's a reference to the fact that Christians aren't the only ones opposed to this curriculum. In fact, in suburban Toronto, there are schools that have been missing up to half of their students for the first 3 weeks of the school year. Parents are simply keeping those kids at home. Many of the parents, recent immigrants to Canada. They're not necessarily Christians. In fact, most of the protests have been centered on a particular school in the Don Valley West constituency. That's Premier Wynne's home riding. Most of the students there actually come from Muslim families. Pro-life blogger Jonathan Van Maren wrote an insightful op-ed on this phenomenon over at LifeSite News last week. He says the Ontario education debate, in some sense, goes to the heart of Canadian demographics.
When you abort 4 million preborn children, that's unsustainable for any country because children are the very future of a nation, and you have to replace those children. So what Canada's been doing for years with our immigrant ethic is to import immigrants from other cultures to replace those children that we ourselves have not had or have aborted. Now, this is kind of interesting because the people that are important from other countries often instinctively and intuitively understand what we all used to know, which is that the baby in the womb is a baby, that the family is incredibly important, and that much of what is being taught in the sex education program in our public school system is not actually sex education, it's re-education, and it's re-education into a very specific ideology that has swept much of the Western world over the past 50 years.
Fundamentally, Van Maren says this issue goes to a clash of worldviews, and neither side can afford to lose this debate.
The ethnic groups are recognizing that their children are going to be inculcated into a worldview that they deeply disagree with, and I think the left-wing ideologues like Kathleen Wynne are fully aware that the future of their worldview under the multicultural patchwork is not going to have a very promising future if they don't take control of the education of these children.
You can check out the full blog post. We link to it from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. Meantime, in Alberta, the opposition to that province's Bill 10, the one that mandates so-called gay-straight alliance clubs in every school in the province, is also continuing. Parents for Choice in Education, the primary opponents of the bill, has put off a planned rally at the legislature that was supposed to happen this weekend. Now they say they're going to wait till spring, but in the meantime, they're collecting signatures on a petition, hoping to get 20,000 names. Last week, the group also released a new study on the economic impacts of the private school system on the Alberta Treasury. The study was done by economist Mark Milkey.
In Alberta, independent schools are funded to about 60-70% of what per student costs in the public school system are funded for, depending on the type of independent school. So given that there are 29,000 students in the independent school system in Alberta, it saves taxpayers in Alberta $168 million a year. Added all together, over the last 5 years, Alberta's private schools have saved the province $750 million.
The reason for the study? Well, there's some thinking that Bill 10 may end up leading to the forced closure of some private schools in Alberta, schools that would refuse to institute those GSA clubs. Milkey says from a purely fiscal perspective, that would not be a good idea.
It would be unwise, it would be counterproductive for a province that has a huge, massive deficit this year to even think about pulling funding from independent schools. Not everybody that's in an independent school would necessarily go to a public school, but some would, and that would cost the province more.
The forced closure of those schools is by no means a foregone conclusion, though. In the wake of the Supreme Court decision in the Loyola case earlier this year, this whole thing could very well end up in court. John Carpe is a lawyer with the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms in Calgary. He says they're waiting to see how this plays out.
If the government proceeds to enforce Bill 10 such that a Christian or Jewish or Muslim school is forced to establish and facilitate a club that is teaching things about sexuality and marriage that are contrary to that school's faith, then in that situation, you're likely to see a school take the government to court. The other option would be for somebody to challenge the law in the abstract, but that's not really a good strategy. It's better to have some particular specific facts before the court.
And one more thing this week, the College of Physicians and Surgeons in Ontario has now issued a policy directive that says doctors who, for reasons of conscience or religion, will not help patients kill themselves will have to refer those patients to someone who is willing to do that. The directive came out of the college's website earlier this month. The whole policy on assisted suicide is awaiting a court challenge by the Christian Medical and Dental Society and a group of Catholic physicians. They say the overarching policy was arrived at because of bias by the working group that put it together, and that it actually misrepresents the views of most doctors and the general public in Ontario. Back with more after this.
Life Tour is a speaking tour that will stop in 20 cities from Moncton, New Brunswick to Vancouver, BC over 4 weeks. The goal of Life Tour is to ensure that Canada's leaders cannot ignore the injustice that is being committed against 100,000 of our preborn neighbors every single year. Join us as we work together to make sure human rights are discussed during this federal election campaign and work to bring an end to unregulated abortion in Canada. Come to an event, bring a friend, and let's change minds this election. We hope to see you at one of our 20 events in 8 provinces over 4 weeks. We'll be on the road September 23rd until October 17th. See lifetour.ca for dates and locations.
And speaking of that Life Tour, I've got Mike Schutten on the line with me. Mike, of course, the director of We Need a Law, the pro-life arm of ARPA. Mike, you've been coordinating this tour and putting some stuff together for it. Talk to me a little bit about what's planned and what's different about the tour this year.
ARPA always has an annual fall tour. This year, Life Tour is taking the place of that. Obviously, the focus of Life Tour then is going to be preborn human rights. We're going to be traveling right across the country, Al, from Halifax all the way to Vancouver. We're going to be stopping in 20 different cities. We have 21 events planned. That is because in Vancouver we have 2 events in a row planned. One is an outdoor rally. This is the finale of Life Tour. An outdoor rally, and then the last presentation in the Westside Church right downtown.
We had featured Life Tour last month sometime. We did a news item on it here on Lighthouse News, and we talked about the presentations you'll be making rather than sort of the broad pro-life focus. This is more about emphasizing 3 questions: the unborn victims of crime issue, sex selective abortions, and late-term abortions. It's a very focused tour in terms of trying to get people to engage their election candidates in the abortion debate without getting into the broad abortion debate, if I can put it that way. Talk a little bit about that strategy.
It very much goes in line with how we have been presenting ourselves since we launched this campaign nearly 4 years ago now, and that is to, rather than focusing on the polar opposites of the spectrum of life, if you will, those who are hard pro-choice and hard pro-life, We're trying to meet people in the middle, not by compromising, but by saying, hey, what do most Canadians have in common? And let's work out from there. So yeah, on this tour, we're going to be having three presenters at each event. Andre Schutten is ARPA's legal counsel. He'll be talking a bit about what does science say in regards to preborn life and what does the law say in regards to preborn life. So he'll be exposing this huge gap between those two understandings. Then we have a speaker who will accompany us from Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. And she will talk about what has resulted because of this gap and also how the culture is changing out there on the streets. And then I'm going to end by asking people to help us promote three sensible laws that would begin to regulate abortion. The first is a late-term abortion law. So this is a law that would prohibit abortions in the latter stages of pregnancy. Right now, abortion is legal past the point when fetuses can even live outside the womb already. So most Canadians are in support of this. They find it repulsive that abortion is legal later on in the pregnancy. The second law that we're going to be talking about is a sex selective law. So this is a law that protects fetuses from being terminated simply because of their gender. Right now in Canada, preborn girls are being targeted for abortion just because they are females. Most Canadians are repulsed by this fact, so we're going to be encouraging people with several action items to promote that law. And then the third one, as you mentioned, is a law protecting preborn victims of crime. Again, most Canadians are not even aware of this. We don't protect preborn victims of crime in our country. What that means is that a woman who has chosen, she has exercised her choice to carry her baby to term, receives no justice when someone takes that choice away by injuring or killing her child while they commit a criminal act against her. So those are the laws that we're going to be pushing for, and we're going to be asking everybody at these events, as well as everywhere we stop, to question their candidates as to where they stand on this issue. Do they care if a father prefers a boy and therefore decides that his wife has to terminate the pregnancy because it's a girl? Do they care if late-term babies are aborted? Do they care about the second victim when a pregnant woman is murdered? These are, we think, steps in the right direction and steps that most Canadians would support our government taking.
This is clearly incrementalism writ large. We were talking before the interview, and there's some criticism out there from some of the, if I can put it this way, the all-or-nothing pro-life folks who say that we're giving up too much by focusing on these three things rather than on the broad black-and-white piece. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, first of all, let me say I appreciate the thousands and thousands of Canadians who for decades now have been toiling in the pro-life movement, pushing their elected representatives to implement laws. But the reality is, we're almost coming up to 30 years now where we've had a legal void in our country, where we have had nothing. So in other words, we are in a position where we have nothing to give up. We absolutely have nothing. So anything, any law that would regulate abortion that would save some preborn lives is a step in the right direction. It's all take from our side and all give from the other side, if you will, if you want to view it in those terms. The reality is in all our communication, we are very clear that any law that would restrict the evil of abortion is a good law and we should be supporting it. Any law that would expand the evil of abortion is not a good law and we should not be supporting it. If, for example, hypothetically, Canada had a law that banned abortion after 16 weeks, and an NDP, say, for this example, we'll use Nikki Ashton. She was promoting and introducing a law in Parliament that would extend that to 25 weeks. And we as pro-lifers said, you know what? Let's meet in the middle at 19 weeks. We'll meet in the middle at 19 weeks. Okay, we'll support that. That would be a compromise because we'd be giving up ground that we already had. Here in our situation in Canada, we have nothing. When we explain that to people, either verbally or written communication via email, they very quickly get it. So yeah, we're just excited about the fact that we're going to be reaching thousands and thousands of people through this tour and hopefully not only convincing those pro-lifers who are holding out for a perfect law, but also motivating the many millions of Canadians who are in the mushy middle, who aren't comfortable with the status quo, but don't quite know what to do about it. We hope to be giving them things that they can do about it.
I understand we've got some extra volunteers on board this time that we didn't have last time. That's kind of an exciting piece, too. Talk to me briefly about that. We're just about out of time.
Oh, yeah. We're super excited and so thankful, Al, for the many people who put their names forward that wanted to volunteer with us. We couldn't take them all. We couldn't accommodate everybody. But we have 8 female volunteers, 1 male volunteer who are going to come with us right across the country. We're quite excited about the fact that this is people who are willing to put aside aside 3 weeks of their lives to help us promote and advance preborn human rights in our country. So super exciting and very thankful for all the help and support we've received from right across this country.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the tour.
Take care, Al.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Production Manager Brian Grimm, Technical Director Nate Boscher. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again in 2 weeks for another edition of Lighthouse News.